Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829-623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program, Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark. And I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or wherever the program is taking place and share with you the living Word of God. Just before we get into the ministry of the Word, I just want to take time off to share some basic information with you about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Every Tuesday, we partner with a ministry called the Prayer Sanctuary, and we meet on the same compound for a time of prayer and Bible study. Prayer begins at 11. Bible study begins at 12:15 till 10 to 1, and we have a good time in the presence of the Lord. So if you live in the East-West Corridor and you're at home on a Tuesday and you don't mind coming and feeding your spirit, it's in the daytime, it's not in the night because you got a whole lot of you don't like to travel in the night, come on down to 159 Eastern Main Road, participate with the Prayer Sanctuary and Focus on God's Word Ministry as we do some time in prayer and seeking the face of God, and then we get into an awesome 30 to 35 minutes of Bible study. Really, really good stuff. And then we meet again on Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. for our Friday night service. So we have these three services available to you, sufficient for you to feed your spirit and grow in the things of God. Then you can also check us out on our website. You can go to fogwm.org and you can check us out on the website, and you'll learn more about us. You would even see some awesome things about what we have on it, because one of the things we have is that all these programs that we are doing for radio, it's on that website, and you can listen to it, you can download it, you can afford to allow God's Word to minister to you. It would be a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So take advantage of it. Amen. And let the Word of God work for you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, we want to get into our lesson for today. I want to talk about the whole concept of giving. I want to go back to the concept of giving. And I want to deal with the attitude towards giving. Now, before I deal with the attitude sometime towards giving, I wanted to understand this, that Jesus didn't just die for our sins to make us righteous. He didn't just die for us, take our sickness and disease to make us healthy. He also took our poverty to make us rich. So when we preach the gospel and we only talk about Jesus dying for our sins to make us righteous, or we only talk about Jesus taking our sins to make us righteous and taking our sickness to make us healthy, and we don't talk about him taking our poverty to make us wealthy, then we really haven't shared the full gospel. We have shared part of it. And if you study the book of 1 Corinthians, you would recognize in your study that just as he became sin so that we can become righteous, just as he became sick so that we can be healed, he also became poor so that we could be rich. So just as he wants us to be righteous, he wants us to be healthy, he wants us to be wealthy also. And people have some problems with that. But I'm not talking to the group that has a problem with that. I want to talk to the group that has embraced that truth, the truth that Jesus became poor that we might become rich. The group that embrace that truth, this is the group I want to address today. Because one of the challenges we have is that even though we embrace truth, sometimes we don't experience the truth we embrace the way we believe we should experience it. And there are reasons why we do not experience the truth the way we believe we should experience it. And today I want to talk about an area that I believe we struggle with and we don't realize this could be the hindrance. Now, I need you to understand that you are anointed to prosper. I need you to understand that God has anointed you to prosper. Because Jesus has taken our poverty, that we can become rich. I normally say it this way. In Christ, I am not the poor trying to become rich. I am the rich Satan is trying to keep poor. Because I understand from God's word what the Lord has done for me. So because he became my substitute, I am now where he is. I am rich in Christ, and I want that riches to materialize in financial wealth also. Therefore, that's the position I take off from. However, if I don't have a revelation of the fact that he became poor that I may become rich, then I cannot see myself where I am in a situation where Jesus has already redeemed me. I see myself as only wanting to be redeemed. Hence, I said I'm talking to the group that embraced, that himself took our poverty that we can become rich. Now, to that specific group, one of the areas I want to deal with is the corruption of our seed. Because even though you're anointed to prosper, that anointing works in conjunction with the law of sowing and reaping. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 8 and verse 22, there's an awesome verse of scripture in Genesis 8, 22. Where am I? I'm trying to find Genesis 8, 22 here. There's an awesome verse of scripture. And in Genesis 8, 22, the Bible says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So the Bible indicates to me that there are some things while the planet Earth is around will continually function. And the first thing it says that will continually function is seed, time, harvest. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed, time, harvest will never cease. So therefore, if farming worked in Jesus' time or in Adam's time, farming will work today. Now, the Bible likens this giving of money as seed, planting seed, and liken it to farming. And it says here, and the reason for that is because God has placed a law in the earth called the law of seed, time, and harvest. So even though I'm anointed to prosper, I have that anointing works in conjunction with the law of seed, time, and harvest. Now, one of the areas of giving ascribed to us in the Word of God is giving through the tithe. Okay, and I don't have time to go into the details as to whether tithing is for Christians or not. And sometimes you hear people say, well, Jesus didn't teach tithing as such, and Jesus didn't collect tithing. The most I would say, because I don't have time to teach on that to get to the point that I'm getting to, the most I would say is this: Jesus didn't really go into any details in teaching on tithing, nor did he collect tithe of himself, and he could not. The reason for that is Jesus functioned under the old covenant. And under the old covenant, the only persons who were entitled to the tithes were the priests. Jesus did not stand in the office of a priest. When Jesus was on earth, he stood in the office of a prophet. And the prophets never, if you study the old, the prophets never received tithing. However, if you go into Luke chapter 8, look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, you would see how Jesus' ministry was sustained. It talks about the woman and others giving into his ministry. And they gave so much money to his ministry, he had to have a treasurer, because you don't need a treasurer if you don't have a treasury. And you don't need a treasury if you don't have nothing in it. Dear, some of you listening to me, you have never thought about having a savings account. Why? Because when money comes into your hand, again, it is so insufficient that there is no need to put excess away. But then there are some of you who are listening to me, yo, when money comes into your hand, it's more than enough. Therefore, you need a place to put away the more than enough, that which you would not be using one time. It's not eaten up. Well, Jesus did not have a poor ministry. Therefore, he had a treasurer who was seen about the treasury, was overlooking it. And when you study the Bible, that treasurer was thieving money out of the treasury. Now, if Jesus only had a penny in that treasury and he was thieving out of it, everybody would have known. But he had money in that account that Judas, who was the treasurer, was thieving out of it, and nobody knew except Jesus. And I always wonder why Jesus didn't respond to it. Up to this day, I don't understand why he didn't, because he went with Judas doing this. I don't know how long Judas was doing it for, but based on my study, Jesus really knew that he was taken out of it. As a matter of fact, there was an incident where Judas told him, "Do you want us to take money and buy food?" And it was to feed a ton loads of people, so he had to have some cash in there. But as again, I'm not teaching on that per se, but I'm just laying that foundation to help you grasp. What I want to teach on is giving through the tithe. Now, under the New Testament, we don't pay tithes, we give tithes. Under the Old Testament, they didn't give tithes, they pay tithes. Before the Old Testament, under Abraham, Abraham didn't pay tithe, he gave a tithe. But I don't have time to explain all of that. But we practice tithing under the new because we have a high priest now who is Jesus and is authorized to collect the tithe, and he does it through local ministries. Now, the thing about it is a form of giving, and it gives us the opportunity to operate with the law of seed, time, and harvest. But what there is an interesting event that took place in the concept of the tithe, which I want us to pay attention to. And it's found in Malachi chapter 3. And we will take it from, verse 13. Okay, so Malachi chapter 3, we're taking it from verse 13. Now, verse should we go to? Let's go to verse 8. Malachi chapter 3, we will take it from verse 8. So in Malachi 3 verse 8, the Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering." Verse 9, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Verse 10, he says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." So all that we read before talks about the children of Israel robbing God, not just through tithing, but through tithes and offering. So, it means that they were not practicing tithing faithfully, and they were not practicing offering faithfully. And the writer to the book of Malachi began to talk about the concept of the tithe, not necessarily the offering. Because if you look at verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering." Then he says, "In tithes and offering, in tithes and offering." But when you hit verse 10, he says, "Bring ye all the tithes." He didn't speak about the offering, but he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house," and so forth. So they were encouraged to practice tithing. So we as New Testament believers, we give, and we give to the form of tithe. But if we continue into verse 13 in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 is a profound statement. He is still speaking about the tithe, but the Lord began to say something else. So in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, he dealt with them that they were robbing him in tithes and offering. Now, in verse 13, he is now beginning a next discussion in reference to why they were robbing him. So in verse 13, it says, he has the Lord speaking to them. He says, your words have been stout against me. Now, if you're studying with me, see that word stout? Just pay attention to it. It's an awesome word. Awesome word, and it's needed to, clarity is needed on it. It is stout against me. And let me see. Let me see, you use it. I'm going to read this same verse out of the Message Bible. And in the Message Bible, it says, you have spoken hard, rude words to me. Okay, in the Modern English Version, it says, your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? So the Lord is saying, listen, not only did you not tithe, while not giving tithing and giving offering, your words have been stout against me. And he says, you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Then in verse 14, he begins to speak to them about what they have been saying. He says, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? Well, what ordinances is he referring to? The ordinances of the tithe. Because if you go back to verse 8, where it says here, will a man rob God? But you say, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offering. And then when you go into to verse 10, he tells them to bring it. So the ordinance he's referring to here is tithes and offering. So he says again in verse 14, you have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And well, watch this, eh? Watch this, verse 15. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Now, this is all English, so it's a bit challenging to grasp what is being said. So I'm going to read it out of the Messenger's Bible, all right? Or I will read it from the Modern English Version. And in the Modern English Version, this is how it is presented. He says, verse 13, your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Verse 14. You said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Verse 15, and now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are built up. They even test God and escape. That's how the Messenger. So what he's saying is this, they stop tithing because when they try to practice the ordinances, they were not satisfied with the return that was coming from it. And one of the reasons why they were struggling to get the right return from it, the Lord said, is because their speech over their seed was not lining up with their seed. And I'm saying that to you because many times we practice tithing, but the speech we give over the money we are going to sow into the kingdom kills the seed instead of give the seed life. Just as under the old covenant, the children of Israel were not prospering through the law of sowing and reaping by their giving or the paying of tithes, they were not experiencing the blessing because their speech was killing their seed. And the same thing is happening with us today. The principle is the same. Mark 11:23 says, you can have what you say. But many of us, we curse the seed through our giving. You know you're going to give that tithe, but instead of speaking words over it, you speak your financial frustration over it. You don't do it in church, you do it at home. You understanding me? You do it from the time you're writing out that check. You do it from the time you begin to put that money together to bring it to the church, you'll be, oh God, you know, I'm doing this thing, oh Lord, but this is so hard to do. And I have so much thing to do, God, you know, I know how I'm going to make out. Help God, but I don't want no curse on me. So, you know, I'm going to give it to the Lord. And that speech is not working with your seed sown. Somebody say, well, yeah, I'm speaking how I feel. Well, let me ask you, are we called to speak what we feel, or are we called to speak what God's word has said? Knock, knock, anybody home? Let me say it again. Are we called to just speak how we feel, or are we called to speak what God's word has said? I believe we are called to speak what God's word has said. Anytime my feelings start to contradict my believing, I have to be careful that I don't speak out my feelings, but I speak out my believing. And many times what we do is speak out our feelings and don't speak out our believing. And what we don't realize is that faith doesn't work when it's silent. Faith only works when it's voice. So when you stay silent and don't speak your belief, but speak your feeling, and then you begin to believe in the words of your feelings more than you're believing that which God has said, then you give life to those negative feelings and it'll work against you, and God has nothing to work with. And that is what God was telling the children of Israel. Listen, the problem was not just the tithe and offering that you were rubbing me with. Your words were stout against me. And many times we kill our seed before we reach. As a matter of fact, I normally say when we have the offering session, a lot of people, that's a funeral service. Because you kill that seed before you came by your negative speech over it. And when time you put it in that basket, what you did is bury it. Nothing is going to come out of that. You have to learn how to make your words work for you. The Lord just brings something to me. I remember something I read years ago early in my Christian walk. I was reading a blue book on the provision of Almighty God. And this man of God said, you know, things were hard for him and his family and so forth. And one day the Lord spoke to him and told him, listen, if you want to change your economic situation, you're going to have to do your giving with a right attitude and with right speech. You're going to have to speak over that 90% from the place of praise and thanksgiving, and watch my power come to work on that 90, because all you're doing is cursing that which you're giving and that which you have remaining. And therefore, it seems as though what you have remaining, the power of God can't work with it to enlarge it, to make you have more than enough. And God pulled him on the carpet with it, and he repented and he adjusted his attitude. And in adjusting his attitude, bam, the remaining 90 began to accelerate. He began to experience prosperity and so forth that he never had before on the remaining 90. But God had to correct his attitude and correct his speech. And I'm saying to you that you're listening to me. Sometimes the problem with us is not the giving of the tithe, but the words that we speak before, during, and after the giving of the tithe. It gives no life to the remainder 90, and it gives no life to the 10 that you sow. You killed it, and that offering service was a funeral for you, and you didn't realize that. You unconsciously had a funeral for your seed. No, 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 don't kill your seed. Are you hearing me? Don't kill your seed. Speak good word over it. When you're giving that seed, and I know because I have been there, and you're sowing that seed, it looked like what is remaining is insufficient. But declare over that which is remaining that my God promised that if I give, he will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by God Christ Jesus. My God, declare in his word, he has never seen the righteous. I am your righteous. He has never seen the righteous forsaken. So I will not be forsaken economically. He have never seen the righteous children beg bread. So my children would not beg bread. My seed is working for me. Amen. I want you to understand that. And many times, that is the problem with us. We don't see the seed working for us the way it should. See, because here's what it says about the seed. Here's something you could speak over the seed. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Now watch this. And multiplies. What does he multiply? Your seed sown, and increases the fruit of your righteousness. Now, he doesn't multiply what has been held back. He multiply what has been sowed. So what he is doing is he is going to make that which you sow bring more back to you. Are you understanding me? So he's going to move you from the 90 that you have to live on, and you will be living supernaturally on that 90 because he has caused that which you have sown to come back into your life. And people don't comprehend that. He multiplies the seed sown and increases the fruit of your righteousness. Now, that's awesome. That's awesome. So I'm sharing with you, don't kill your seed. When the time comes to sow, do it joyfully. Do it happily. And when you sow that and you look at what is in your hand, present it to your Father and say, Father, I've obeyed your word. I'm standing on your word, and I declare that your supernatural power is working on this 90%, and all my needs are met. And you will see God supernaturally do some things. I could remember some years ago, I had a car problem. And when they checked, they had to change the engine. And after giving and I really didn't know where I was getting the money from. But I told the mechanic, hold on, I will get the money to you. I see, I understand all that I'm teaching here. And I begin to thank God that the money, listen, the money came in without missing a tide. Are you understanding? Without missing an opportunity, without cursing it or anything like that. The money came in and I was able to hand the mechanic the thousands that he needed. I said, go for up to this day. I can't remember how it came in, but I never missed food, anything at all. God came true. So I want to encourage you. Give. Don't kill your seed. Speak life to your seed. Speak life to your seed. Speak life to your seed. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. Looking forward to hear from you. Give us a call at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829. Check us out on the World Wide Web. Go on to our website, FOGWM.org. Listen to the same program again over and over and let the Word of God transform your life. Your life will never be the same again. We want to give you an opportunity to sow generously into the ministry. You can go to any First Citizen branch and sow into Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry, account number 175-8015. Be with you next time. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.